You're listening to Comedy Central.
May 15th, 2018. From Comedy Central's World News headquarters in New York, this is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition.
Tonight, she's the co-host of CBS This Morning, the author of a new book, and one of my favorite people in the world, Gayle King is here, everybody! But first, I know a lot of people think we here at The Daily Show are nothing but haters when it comes to the White House. But that's not true. I've always been a fan of Melania Trump. You know, as a fellow immigrant, she inspires me. Because I know that I can never become president of the United States, but if I work hard, I might become first lady. So she's my role model, which is why today, Melania Trump is in my thoughts.
First Lady Melania Trump is hospitalized tonight after undergoing a surgical procedure on her kidney. The White House saying the procedure was for a benign condition and that there were no complications.
President Trump tonight visiting his wife, who's expected to remain at the military hospital for the rest of the week.
They're saying that they want to go ahead and keep her for a week, which is unusual in a case like this, but it could be because she's the first lady and they just want to pay extra attention.
Yeah, she's staying an extra week. I feel like after a couple of hours, the doctor told her she could go home and Melania was like, no, I should stay. I should stay until you check everything out. I stay longer. I was like, okay, well, Miss First Lady, since we're keeping you longer, your husband is on his way to visit. Okay, pull the plug. We've tried everything. Pull the plug. It's like, you're not on life support. I don't care. Just try it. See what happens. What's wild about the story is, look at these two people. How is she the one with the health issue? How? I mean, Trump's blood type is KFC positive. He does not live a healthy life. At a rally last week, Trump vowed to fight for the rights of the LGBBQ community. How is he healthy? In other news, we're learning things about what President Trump does before bed at night, and it's even worse than you think.
This week's New York Magazine reports that Trump and the Fox News host Sean Hannity speak on the phone most weeknights. The report also quotes a former White House official who says Hannity and Fox create a feedback loop that puts Trump in a, quote, weird headspace, adding, quote, what ends up happening is Judge Jeanine Pirro or Hannity fill him up with a bunch of crazy expletive and everyone on staff has to go and knock down all the expletive fires they started.
Okay, you have to admit it's cute that these two talk before bed every night. Yeah, they're like 8-year-old treehouse buddies with those cans on strings, you know, gossiping about which girls they secretly paid off, you know, or whether it's Yanny or Laurel. It's Laurel, by the way. But that feedback loop part is really weird for me, right? They're saying that President Trump says something outlandish to Hannity on the phone. Hannity then repeats it on TV, and then Trump watches that and goes, you see, exactly, that's what I was saying! Trump is like that gorilla getting riled up by what he's doing in the mirror. He's like, you see what he did? And here's my favorite part of this story. White House staff know that the calls happen thanks to the president entering a room and announcing, I just hung up with Hannity, or even ringing Hannity up from his desk in their presence. How are you both the president and a staff? How? Like, no other world leader does that, you realize it. Putin's never talking to his assistant like, not a big deal, but I was at party with actor who plays Sheldon on Big Bang, yeah. Yeah, Elon Musk and Grimes there too, just saying, yeah. But let's move on. Let's move on to our main story. Every day in the news, we find out a new sort of detail about something that happened inside the White House. Like when Ben Carson bought a $90,000 beanbag chair, or when Mike Pence stood next to a painting of Dolly Madison without his wife present. And the only reason we know about these stories is that the Trump White House has been plagued by incessant leaks. And judging by his tweets, the president has had enough.
President Trump on Twitter, quote, "The so-called leaks coming out of the White House are a massive over-exaggeration put out by the fake news media in order to make us look as bad as possible." With that being said, leakers are traitors and cowards, and we will find out who they are.
So if I understand this correctly, Trump says there is no problem, and the people responsible for that problem, he will personally disembowel. Is that what that means? Yeah? You can't say there's no problem and also that you're solving the problem. Everything works perfectly down there. Then why are you popping Viagra? I just like the taste. Minty. Now, President Trump is particularly mad about this latest leak because, amazingly, it's made the White House look even worse than usual.
A crude joke that turned out to be no laughing matter. White House aide Kelly Sadler set off a firestorm with an insensitive remark about Senator John McCain.
Sadler was in a White House meeting last week when John McCain's opposition to CIA nominee Gina Haspel came up. According to a White House source, Sadler joked about the 81-year-old senator who is battling brain cancer, quote, "It doesn't matter. He's dying anyway." Colleagues leaked her comments to reporters.
Wow. Who cares what John McCain thinks? He's dying anyway. Joking or not, you've got to admit that's in pretty poor taste. And this wasn't an isolated incident. You have to understand, Trump and McCain have had beef for years now. During the campaign, McCain said that Trump was firing up the crazies. So Trump fired back by dissing McCain for having been a prisoner of war. Then when Trump became president, McCain killed his healthcare plan. And then... even from the hospital, McCain attacked Trump's CIA nominee and said that Trump wasn't invited to his funeral, which you have to admit is the highest level of diss possible. To uninvite someone to something that you're technically not even really gonna be at. I'm not gonna be there, but I don't want you there anyway. And now, like, personally, I would want Trump at my funeral because I know that he'd hate being at an event that wasn't about him. You know, he'd be like, "I can be in a hole too, folks. I was also dead. They said I was dead, folks. 270 electoral college votes, but I got them, folks. I got them. I came back." So McCain and Trump hate each other, which is why when the story came out, the White House cared less about McCain's feelings and more about the fact that the story was leaked in the first place. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders held an emergency meeting to stop everyone from leaking. And guess how we know about this meeting?
Funny thing, over the weekend, there was this meeting on Friday. Sarah Sanders, press secretary, has a meeting, starts the meeting saying, "I know somebody's going to leak this," then goes on to condemn people for leaking that comment that press aide made about John McCain. And within hours, it's leaked by a group of people that included several leakers.
So now, the leakers are leaking leaks about a meeting about what leaked. You know what this is like? This is like in a relationship when you're having an argument about how much you argue. Why do we always have to argue? We don't argue. Yes, we do. No, we don't. And part of me feels bad for the White House. Because if you can't even tell people to stop leaking without them immediately leaking it, you're screwed. Now, the White House may be focused on their leaking problem, but the rest of Washington only has one thing on its mind.
Why not just apologize so America doesn't think that that is an acceptable way of speaking inside this White House?
Why hasn't someone just said, you know what, we're sorry?
If it were me, I would apologize.
I just wish somebody from the White House would tell the country that was inappropriate.
It has been 5 days now since White House aide Kelly Sadler made that morbid and awful remark about Senator John McCain's failing health, and still the White House refuses to apologize.
Wow. Day five and still no apology. Oh, they make it sound like the White House is holding the apology hostage. That's what it's... Day five, no sign of the apology yet. It feels like if this goes on for long enough, Quincy Jones is gonna have to make one of those tribute songs to help get the apology out, you know? He's like, "Apology, we miss you. We wanna set you free." Be like, "Apology, I need you now. Apology." I love those songs. True. If the White House had just apologized, the story would be dead and they wouldn't have to worry about it. And they don't even have to mean it. Like, they could just be like, "Hey, we regret that this joke was made and the aide has now been reassigned. Move over there. They've been reassigned. There, it's done." But instead of apologizing, they're digging in their heels.
We've heard a lot about White House aide Kelly Sadler and her comments about Senator McCain. Does she still have a job?
I'm not going to comment on an internal staff meeting.
Following up on that question about Kelly Sadler's comment, does the White House not think that you need to condemn these remarks or comment?
Again, I'm not going to validate a leak one way or the other out of an internal staff meeting.
You know, I understand what's happening here. In Trump's world, if you apologize, you're admitting that it happened. And for Trump, that's a sign of weakness. But here's the thing. Just because it wasn't meant to get out, doesn't mean you can expect everyone to act like it didn't happen. That's not how this works. Like, imagine if someone tried this technique in court. Be like, defendant, how do you plead? I plead that y'all were not supposed to know nothing about my drug dealing, so I'm not gonna validate that with a response. Yeah, you're getting life. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Daily Show. Police-community relations is often a contentious subject. Here to talk more about a new development is our very own Ronny Chang, everybody.
Thanks, Trevor. These days, a lot of people are criticizing the police. Not me, of course, because I love the police. In fact, when people say, f*** the police, I say, yeah, I want to f*** the police. Hard. I want to make love to the police. I love the police. And cops around the country are making changes. But in Michigan, there's one police department that's going way too far.
There is a new sheriff in town today. The Troy Police Department's newest officer was sworn in for duty.
This is the latest recruit to the Troy Police Department feline unit. Meet Officer Donuts, ready to report for duty. Officer Donut is the first official police cat in Michigan.
We wanted to show that the police have a human side too.
Wow, the police got a kitten. Finally, Colin Kaepernick can stand. How is this supposed to humanize the police? Liking cats doesn't make you sympathetic. It makes you every lonely person on Instagram, right? And look, I get that law enforcement today is willing to do anything to get people to like them, except obviously not shoot black people. But this won't work, because throwing cats at a problem never solved anything, right? I learned that the hard way during a grease fire in my apartment.
Ronny, I feel like you're taking this too seriously.
I'm taking this too seriously. Yo, the police had the judge swear the cat in.
Judge Nielsen Hartig and Judge McGinnis performed the ceremony, asking Officer Donut to raise her right paw. She promised to protect and serve, act as an ambassador to the community, be tolerant of the canine unit, and even cuddle when needed.
Okay, first of all, if you've ever spent any time with a cat, you know that that oath is bullshit, okay? The only oath a cat ever keeps is to show you its butthole and tear up your couch.
Ronny, you are being heartless. The cat's so cute.
I'm being heartless. Yo, just listen to how the cops treated their previous cat.
The campaign to fill their feline unit has had ups and downs. This week, they found out the original kitty recruit, Pawfisher Badges, has feline leukemia.
It's a good thing we had Officer Donut in the wings that was able to rise to the occasion.
That police department is cold, all right? Their first police cat got cancer, so they replaced him with another cat. Who fires a sick kitten? Now Officer Badges isn't just dealing with kitty leukemia, he's an alcoholic too. Probably down at a local bar lapping Jameson out of a saucer.
Hey, Ronny, I don't mean to make it personal, but are you okay, man? This seems like something that touches you.
Yeah, it is. Because the Troy, Michigan PD is treating police cats like they're little mascots, and they're not. And I know that because my own cat also joined the police force. Do you have any idea what it's like to live with a police cat, waiting up all night for Sergeant Mr. Snuggles to come home, and then one day getting a call from the chief with the words you've always dreaded? Your cat got stuck in the wall again.
I'm so sorry. Ronny Chang, everyone. Unlike Mr. Snuggles, we'll be right back. I'm sorry, Ronny.
I'm sorry.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My guest tonight is an Emmy Award-winning journalist who is the co-host of CBS This Morning and editor-at-large of O Magazine. She has a new book, a collection of letters called Note to Self, Inspiring Words from Inspiring People. Please welcome Gayle King.
So great.
great, Trevor.
I'm so glad to finally have you on the show. This is great for us.
This is my first time on the Trevor Noah
Show. Yeah, this is great.
This
is great to have you. Because we watch you every single day. Obviously, we watch all the news, but we love watching your show every single morning. How do you do it? Where, like, we report on news all the time, and we make jokes about it, and the audience laughs at it. And you're in a position where sometimes you have to report the most outlandish story, and then with a straight face just carry on like nothing happened.
Well,
this is live as well. Are there no moments where you...
And sometimes you just have to bite the inside of your cheek as hard as you possibly can. Somebody told me once, if you grab the inside of your skin right here and pinch it as hard as you can, that will prevent you from laughing.
Wow.
So a couple of times I've had to do this. But I was watching at the top of the show where you were talking about the apology. I know we're not going to talk a lot about news. But don't you think, Trevor, that if they finally come out and apologize now,
right,
would it still mean something when I have to beat you up to give me an apology? Does that feel good to you if I have to sort of embarrass you to apologize for something?
Here's my honest opinion on it.
Yeah.
I think that many people would like the White House to apologize because it restores the pretense of normalcy in what's happening in Washington as opposed to the actual act of apologizing. So people are just like, just say it's normal again.
Yes, but in the past, it seems that when you're asked to apologize at this particular White House, they double down and do the opposite.
Right.
So I don't know if even if you get the apology, if it's going to mean anything.
So if they're doing the opposite,
maybe journalists... I don't think the apology's coming, by the way. I just don't.
I don't think they've ever apologized.
No.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever, ever... I think the only apology I've ever heard Trump give was about the pussy grab tape.
Yeah.
That was the only one, which I think he regrets because then afterwards he couldn't take it back. He was like, I don't know if that tape was real. People are like, you apologize. And he's like, damn it.
Yes.
That's why I don't apologize.
Yes.
But I don't want to inundate you with news. You talk about that news all the time. I want to talk to you about all the other exciting news you get to do. You get to cover really serious stories. And then, like, for instance, the story coming up now, you get to go and cover the
royal wedding. About that. I am leaving tomorrow on a jet plane going to England, and I'm so excited about this. Why? Because, listen, I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch Princess Diana when she got married. Up at 4 o'clock to, unfortunately, watch the funeral. And I still remember William and Harry walking behind their mom's casket.
Wow.
That was heartbreaking. He was 12. And, you know, Harry's been through some stuff. He's been very mischievous, done some things. But it's so nice to see him come out on the other side and in love. And look at Meghan Markle. Biracial, American, divorced, older by 3 years, so that doesn't really count. But that doesn't really count. But she is so opposite of what you would expect in the monarchy.
Right.
But yet they've embraced her. And I'm just nuts about this girl. I don't know her either, but everything I read and see, we've interviewed her friends, we've talked to people who've worked with her, she just seems like the real deal. She had a life before him, and the two of them together, I just think are magical.
It does feel like a fairy tale.
Don't you love love?
I love love.
I do. I love love.
I really love love. It's like a fairy tale story.
I do too.
In many ways.
Should we ask if you're in love, Trevor Noah?
I'm always in love.
Are you?
Because I love love. I love love. Let me talk to you about the book.
Very good. Very good.
Let me talk to you about the book.
Yes.
Note to Self.
Note
I feel
to
like
self.
In many ways that's what this book is about. It's about love. It's about love that people have for themselves,
yes.
A love that they may not have had expressed to them by others. And now as adults, they get to talk to themselves about where did the idea come from and how do you get somebody to truthfully write a note to their younger selves?
Well, it's just a matter of reflecting on your life. And if you could go back, what would you tell your younger self? We all have life lessons that we've learned along the way. And I think that it's interesting for people. It's cathartic for some. It's empowering for some.
Right.
It's painful for some. Fun and funny. And I'm always amazed at how seriously people take it.
Yes.
And so, you know, you put a lot of thought into it. I think I would ask the audience, just think about if you had to reflect on your life, what would you tell yourself back
then? It's interesting because you have... Oprah Winfrey, you have Joe Biden, you have Tyler
Joe
Perry.
Biden, yes.
You have these beautiful stories.
John Lewis.
I wanted
How
to
about
read
John
this
Lewis
passage
story?
Of Tyler Perry's that yes. really got to me. And he says, I know that you don't know this right now, writing to his younger self.
Yeah.
But who you become is being shaped inside of every one of those bad experiences, the good, the bad, and yes, even the ugly ones. They're all going to work together for your good.
Yes.
And it's powerful because you feel like in this story, I learned about Tyler Perry in a tiny little note to himself, more things than I've learned in most interviews.
You know, it's interesting. He was the one that told me that was cathartic for him, that he had never really thought about it. Look at Tyler's life, who is now a mogul, as you know, in Hollywood. But he, you know, was writing the plays. He was expecting a big audience. Only 32 people showed up the first night. But he has now turned that into Tyler Perry Studios, which is bigger than Warner Brothers. It's bigger than Warner Brothers. What Tyler Perry has created in the city of Atlanta,
right,
his own studios with his own sound stages, he's huge. And so to come from where he came from and was abused, he talks about how he was abused as a child, to come from where he's come from to now is amazing.
It really is beautiful. Amazing. It's inspired me to write a note to myself as a kid. I've thought to myself, if I could write a note to myself, what would it be? And the note I thought of was...
Would you think about doing it for us?
Yeah, mine, okay. Mine was 13, 26, 18, 47, 5, 3, which was the winning lottery numbers that I wish I knew.
You guys started laughing. I'm like, what does that mean?
Thank you so much for being on this show. Gail will be co-hosting CBS News' Royal Wedding coverage live from London, May 19th from 4 to 9 a.m. Eastern. And Note to Self is available now. Gail King, everybody.
The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and the Comedy Central app. Watch full episodes and videos at thedailyshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for exclusive content and more.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.